Macromello, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jay. How are you?
Did you forget to charge your cell phone, or what happened?
No, I ended up caught on a client call, actually, involving some clients located in your beautiful province.
Oh, nice. Let's start with Mike Richards. And you look at the precedent from other leagues, Major League Baseball specifically. Are you allowed to bring that into the court of law in this situation, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all going to be relevant, because a lot of the language in the NHL player contract and CBA is the same as it is in the MLB player contract and CBA, and also the same labor law principles generally apply. And Don Fear, who was quite successful fighting this kind of stuff when he was the head of MLB, of the MLB union, will do the same here as the head of the NHL union. So you can definitely rely on all these precedents, because they just, bottom line, Jason, is they represent key sort of concepts in labor law.
Okay. Now, past history, Major League Baseball, and funny enough, Mr. Fair, who was the guy who was fighting all of those, is the same guy now for the NHLPA. So I think he has a little bit of a history and knowledge on how to go about this. You know what? I reached out to a few people who felt like, you know, the LA Kings, they just said, why not try this? Worst case scenario, they'll lose the appeal.
Yeah, and I think that's what they were doing, hoping it would stick. But, you know, the thing is, there's just not much of a chance here that it's going to stick. And normally, you know, legally, we'll take a chance, we'll take a shot off the bow if we've got, you know, like at least a decent chance that, you know, you might be successful. But here, I just don't see it. You know, I've written a lot about this at Forbes, and, you know, if the Kings, you know, take the position they killed his contract because he was allegedly arrested, you know, possessing Oxy, well, you can't terminate a deal, because there's a drug policy that says you have to do specific things. And if they take the position they killed his deal because he didn't report that he was arrested and tell them, well, that's still the drug policy. So it just seems like a real uphill battle here, a real challenging case for the Kings. I get why they did it. There's a bit of a squeeze on them cap-wise, and they need as much space as they can get, and a couple of million a year will make a difference for them. So I do get why they're trying it.
Now, when you look at the Major Leagues of Baseball, when they settled outside of court, the guy never got all of his salary. And, you know, it varied in certain cases from 70% up to 80%. Do you know, Eric, at all, if they settle, which I think they're going to have to settle, will the Kings still have a cap hit penalty? Or because the NHL allowed them to terminate it to begin with, do they just have to pay out the money and they don't get anything on their cap?
On a case like this, other teams are not going to want to see the Kings get away with no cap hit. And, you know, you talk about settlement. I don't think Don Fear is going to like any settlement that doesn't give Mike Richards everything that he is due, every last penny. Because, again, there's a drug policy in place. You cannot do what the Kings have done because that policy is in place. So if that amount of money, that salary is reinstated, so to speak, you'd have to imagine that they would then be hit with a corresponding cap hit, because if they're not, other teams are like, well, hang on a second. So I could cut a guy, avoid the cap hit, and then he's reinstated, but I don't get hit with that same cap hit. That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, well, I agree, and I'm curious. There's really no precedent for this in the NHL, so I'm not sure what they're going to go on, and you know, how much of a cap hit percentage will they have to be penalized?
I mean, you're presumably looking at the entire cap hit. And presumably Don Fear is not going to accept anything less than every last penny that's on the Mike Richards, which is the right and more reasonable position. So if that indeed happens, then it's reasonable for the LA Kings to be hit with a full cap hit, which would be two-thirds.
Yeah. Eric Macromella, TSN analyst, joins us. Eric, interesting stories, kind of a little bit of a twist today in the NFL. Jim Turner, the former Miami Dolphins offensive line coach, he is now suing the Wells Report and Mr. Wells, and he's saying that he gave the NFL what they wanted, which in his eyes wasn't the truth. What do you make of this?
I think Turner is smelling blood. The Deflategate Wells Report was arguably quite flawed, and there were some serious issues with it, and that sort of was revealed over time, and we saw it in the Brady transcripts released last week and some of the evidence earlier on that seemed suspect. When I went through, I'm like, hey, there's some real potential holes with this evidence. And, you know, Turner and Brady and Brady's team are not treating whatever Ted Wells says and writes as the gospel. And I think that Turner here was smelling blood, seeing that Wells is under attack and hobbling a little bit, and decided to go after him. And he was facing a statute of limitations, and so he elected, I think, here to make his voice heard. And, you know, he feels like he's been damaged, so he's looking for some kind of restitution.
Is he doing this because he senses that maybe the Wells report and what's going on with Tom Brady, that they're susceptible now? And that if they fail on the Brady, does that strengthen his case? Is there any connection or correlation between the two?
No, it's not going to help him on his case, but it might be a reason why, in part, he's filed his case in the first instance.
What are you making the more you read into all the stories on the Brady NFL case?
Well, to me, the biggest thing is when I went through the transcripts for about 50 billion pages, the thing that caught me sort of off guard was when Brady was asked, you know, what are the quarterbacks have also won a record four Super Bowls? He responded by saying Montana, which, you know, he forgot about Terry Bradshaw. So apparently, you know, Tom Brady is so used to lying, he just can't stop, right? That's the first thing. The second
He's just too young.
Right. He's too young. I mean, you know, Brady seems to know a little bit about NFL history. I think if you play for Bill Belichick, I think you probably end up knowing more about NFL history than maybe you would like. But, you know, that aside, you look at the evidence as a whole. Brady's just got to show the whole process was flawed, that Goodell's decision on appeal, where Goodell agreed with Roger Goodell, with respect to Roger Goodell's original decision, show that that was predetermined and flawed and there was an inherent bias there. And there are some serious issues with the evidence, and I've gone through it at TSN, an article up there. Here's kind of the bottom line, because this boils down to one thing, and that's fantasy advice, because that's all we really care about. You know, if you have got Tom Brady, you know, in a keeper league, do you keep him? You know, if you don't, do you draft him to begin with? Do you not draft him? If Tom Brady gets his four-game suspension set aside, and the judge is going to hear this, should have a decision by the first week of September. The season starts the 10th of September, Patriots, Steelers, so we'll have a decision before then. If Judge Berman, and I love that name, by the way, Judge Berman, if Judge Berman sets aside the four-game suspension, and there's a chance that happens, I think Brady plays the entire season. So, and there are some pretty serious issues with a lot of the evidence, so we'll see what happens.
Chris Berman's the judge?
Judge Berman. Well, he's not Chris Berman, but it's Judge Berman. And then you've got Keyshawn Johnson as the stenographer, and then you've got Tom Jackson on the piano.
Oh, that would be unreal. But, you know, the whole case itself, like when you went through the transcripts, were you surprised? It seems like, so the NFL knew that they thought that this was going on, yet they chose to try to put a sting on it rather than just adhere to the rules, which is a $25,000 fine. Has there ever been anything that stated why they didn't just follow the rules that were in place that says
if you're busted,
you get $25,000 fine?
Yeah, and this is a big argument of Jeffrey Kessler, who's Tom Brady's lawyer. Jeffrey Kessler is the guy who got Vilma and the other Saints off in the Saints batting gate. This is the guy that's responsible for free agency out of the late 80s. This is the guy that's suing the NCAA, trying to tear apart its entire business model based upon their student-athlete distinction. What the NFL said is, look, it's, you know, this four-game suspension, which, by the way, amounts to a fine of $1.9 million, is for conspiring to deflate footballs, together with not cooperating with our investigation. There's a problem with that. Number one is what you mentioned, is Rule 2. It calls for a $25,000 fine for manipulating footballs. Now, look, it does say without limitation 25. So it's not limited to 25, but that's still your baseline. That's still your starting point. And then as far as not cooperating with the investigation, well, a key part of Brady's appeal is, look, you know, the punishment you impose, basically a $2 million fine, is not in keeping with your past practice. And he'll point to Brett Favre and the Jen Sturger sexting scandal. And there, Brett Favre did not cooperate with the NFL. And what was his punishment? It was $50,000. Mm-hmm. Anthony Hargrove was part of the Saints Battygate whole thing, and he was suspended 8 games. And on appeal to Tagliabue, the former commissioner, that 8-game suspension of Goodell was vacated, and Tagliabue said, look, you guys don't go this far. You guys are more into fines when it comes to lack of cooperation than suspension. So his lawyers can say, look, you're fining basically $2 million, but this doesn't call for more than $25,000 or $50,000. What's going on?
Yeah, well, it almost seemed like a witch hunt. And trust me, I am not a Patriots fan. I can't stand the Patriots.
It's craziness. Yeah. The NFL had a Patriots axe to grind. And I have said this all along on my own show that it airs on your network that, you know...
When does it air, though? I never know.
Thursday at 8 and Sundays at 9:30, okay. I think, around there.
Yeah, you don't even know, do you?
No, I mean, it's just, I'm trying to do the math on the time difference. Plus, I tend to be asleep a lot of the time. You know, and I have questioned the wisdom of the NFL. Roger Goodell going after Tom Brady. And this is going to hurt Roger Goodell. I mean, Tom Brady is our winningest quarterback in regular season history in the NFL. He holds records for postseason TDs, yards, games, wins. You go on and on. Most Super Bowl wins at 4. Most Super Bowl appearances at 6. He's your golden child. I don't understand why they're treating him as an enemy rather than an ally. Why would you go after one of your own? I look at it, and no matter what legal spin or legal angle that I provide to whoever, I keep coming back to this issue. Why are you doing this to one of your own?
It does seem odd. Like, I can understand, you know, when you do it for somebody who's, you know, domestic abuse or anything like that, that's on a totally different scale. To me, this is, it seems really petty. Now, quickly, a few other hockey ones. Patrick Kane and Voinov. Let's start with Patrick Kane. From what you've read, what do you see happening in this situation?
Well, as far as whether he'll be charged on that, I have no clue. But at this point, the prosecutor is going through the evidence, the rape kit that was allegedly collected when the victim went to the hospital. You know, you speak to the victim, you speak to Patrick Kane. They've searched his home, apparently. Anyway, so this prosecution will do its due diligence, and they're going to say to themselves, okay, do we have probable cause here? Do we have enough here to secure a conviction at trial? And if they believe that's the case, then they'll press charges. But at the same time, this is possible that, you know, that it wasn't sexual assault. So we really have to wait and see. This is maybe at this early juncture is more a lesson for media to sort of exercise a bit of impulse control, because we've seen some reports, Jason, I'm sure you've seen them too, where people are kind of jumping the gun. No charges have been laid against Patrick Kane, so we need to wait. But look, bottom line is, if he ends up being charged, he probably misses the entire season, and the chance he ends up in jail. So yeah, this is really serious.
Yeah, it definitely seems serious. And what about the Voinov case?
Voinov, so the issue, I think the final issue is, will he be suspended by the NHL? Because the Kings aren't going to cut him, because he's unlike Mike Richards, he remains of value. He's a top four defenseman, and the Kings needed him last season, and without him, they struggle a bit on D. So they obviously need him. As far as precedence, I looked at the NBA, and Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, suspended Jeffrey Taylor, the Bobcats, after he pled guilty to 24 games. So he is suspended for 24 games, a quarter of the season. That remains possible for Voinov. He will be suspended.
And do you know, is it up to the Kings, or does the NHL have the reign to just suspend them themselves?
Both of them can suspend, but this is an issue because it's so sensitive. The NHL is the one that put him on indefinite leave, and they'd be the ones here that would suspend him as well.
Okay. And lastly, because I know you're a big fan of tanning, Majot was telling us half... What was it, Majot? Half Vaseline? Yeah, is that what you use to get your tan?
Well, I was born with a tan, so I don't really need anything.
Well, I was just wondering. Because never seen Majot, have you?
No.
Because he's born with a tan. Well, no, he's born with a tan, too, so that's why I wasn't sure. Like, people who are born with a tan, is this what they use?
I don't know. You mean, to find out what people use to tan, you might want to call George Hamilton. He's the perfect guy to speak to, right? Because this guy glows. Even if it's non-HD, the guy is glowing on TV.
Matt Carmella, what do you got coming up down the pipe in your next article?
Well, I guess I'll probably draft up another Forbes thing on Mike Richards, the timeline, you know, when this is going to get done, what's going to happen, and that'll be on Forbes, and then TSN, maybe something on Deflategate. I'll be on TSN 1260 with my buddy Will and Dustin. Now it's twice a week, every Wednesday and Friday at 9:05.
Yeah, they didn't tell you, though, so I'll update you. They're not here this week, so you won't be on with them, but you'll still be on. It just won't be with them.
Are they not on this week?
No, they're both on holidays.
That changes everything.
Yeah. For fun, if you miss Nilsson, you can watch him. He's calling all of the FIBA America games on TSN.
I saw that. You know,
it's the first time you ever saw him. Really, you didn't even know what he looked like.
No, I saw him on Twitter. I was quite disappointed. But do those guys ever work? It's either both of them or one of them are on vacation seemingly all the time.
It is ridiculous how much downtime they get for basically showing up and working 4 hours a day for like 6 months.
When the show is downtime.
Good point. Really good point. Eric, always great to talk to you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care.